The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, August 25th, 2011, and it's got to be, well, probably 4:27 by now. We're starting about 7 minutes late here. We learned a very valuable lesson. The new air conditioner we installed here in the studio and the studio lights combined for a greater than 15-amp pull on our electrical system. We completely lost power about 3 minutes before we went on air. So we'll give you all the podcasts we can in the remaining time that we have. Thanks for joining us. Today's show is going to have a lot of stuff here. Cannabis Carrie will join us in just a moment with some hemp headlines. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the ruling in Michigan that has declared dispensaries to be illegal. And we'll give you highlights from Dennis Kucinich's speech out at the Seattle Hemp Fest. It's also Groovin' Thursday, and John Doe Radio is bringing us some great Groovin' Thursday music with the Cottonmouth Kings, who recently performed at that Seattle Hemp Fest with a new song, Boom Clap Sound. And then it's Leap Day today, so we are going to be visiting with John Delaney. He's a retired district court judge in Bryan, Texas. And at the end of the show, some local news that has led me to today's Radical Rant. We'll get to that and all of the interviews and all of the introductions here in the studio when we come back from this break. We're still putting things together after the power outage. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around. The news is coming up next right here on your Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us out here at our new home on Ustream, and make sure to tell your friends. We'll be right back.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com. Or call 503-288-5579.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Hey, tokers, this is Radical Russ, encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of Normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid.
Go, we don't need no cocaine.
Revolution. Schwazy.
and Cisco.
It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
In our top story today, Michigan medical marijuana patients were delivered a huge blow yesterday when the Michigan Court of Appeals issued a major ruling that sales of marijuana were illegal in the state. The ruling makes it illegal for patient-to-patient sales and seemingly for dispensaries of any kind to operate. There are an estimated 300 to 400 dispensaries that serve almost 100,000 Michigan medical marijuana patients, and the ruling is fueling fears that they must all close down permanently. The ruling was a unanimous decision, with all three judges deciding that the Compassionate Apothecary, the cannabis dispensary in Mount Pleasant that initiated the court case, violated the state's 2008 medical marijuana law by selling cannabis to patients. The court decided that co-owners Brandon McQueen and Matthew Taylor were not only facilitating sales between patients and caregivers, but by letting growers sell and taking a 20% cut in the transactions, they were in actuality selling the cannabis. Since the 2008 Michigan Medical Marijuana Act does not allow the sale of cannabis, the dispensary must shut down as a public nuisance, according to the courts. The medical marijuana state law gives medical marijuana patients immunity from prosecution for, quote, the acquisition, possession, cultivation, manufacture, use, internal possession, delivery, transfer, or transportation of marijuana, unquote. Now, not only does it not say the word sale, but now the courts have deemed that transfer and transportation do not mean or include sales either. Basically, one side of the transaction is legal, but the other side is not. It is still a crime in Michigan to provide marijuana to anyone, including patients. Now, State Attorney General Bill Schuette hailed the court's decision. He said, quote, the judges cleared the air and gave the local communities the tools to enforce the law. The law was designed to help people with debilitating diseases, but it's been hijacked by those who want to make a profit, unscrupulous doctors, and those who wanted to legalize drugs, unquote. Since the ruling came yesterday, most of the dispensaries in the state are closed today, at least temporarily, and many are seeking the advice of their lawyers. Reports that all 40 dispensaries in Lansing, Michigan were closed today, and reports from one of those dispensary owners was that he had to deal with about 70 upset patients today, and every single one of them asked him where they were supposed to get their medicine. He said that all the courts did yesterday was to put a lot of sick people back into the streets and into the hands of black market drug dealers. He added that street dealers were the only winners in the ruling yesterday. Some of the dispensaries that did stay open say they think they are safe because they do business differently than the Compassionate Apothecary, that they operate off of consulting fees and donations. Now, for their part, McQueen and Taylor, the owners of the dispensary at the center of the ruling, vow to appeal the decision to the Michigan Supreme Court. There is also a group of lawmakers who are planning to introduce a package of bills aimed at clarifying the law, but we have not read the language of those as of yet. Russ?
Yeah, consulting fees, donations, gifts, reimbursements. No matter what you call it, folks, just get this in your mind. They don't want to see us making money off marijuana, period. They've got their own drug interests to protect. They've got their pharmaceutical interests. They got their turf to guard, their corners to sell on. Now, it's sad that this ruling came down, that there is no patient-to-patient sales in Michigan, and of course it's being appealed and all of that. But it's not a surprising ruling. I mean, if you look at the text of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, it's silent on the issue of patients being able to sell to each other. And since medical marijuana is an exemption from criminal prosecution, if there is a criminal law against selling marijuana, and you are not being exempted from selling it merely from medically using it, growing it, and possessing it, then we don't really have much of a leg to stand on. And I'm sorry for all the medical folks out there who think they're legal. I mean, I just read it in a tweet today. Somebody tweeted out, I just got my card. I'm legal. You're not legal. And this case proves it. You are at the very minimum guarded from certain criminal prosecutions for your very limited use of marijuana in limited circumstances for a limited time. It's time we move forward with full legalization for all people so we can stop drawing these silly lines of who's healthy enough to lock up and who's sick enough to make a second-class citizen.
One of the amazing speakers at this year's Seattle Hemp Fest was Democratic presidential hopeful Dennis Kucinich of Ohio. He gave a fiery speech to the crowds about legalizing marijuana and ending the drug war, about ending the Patriot Act and giving health care to all Americans. He told listeners that it was time for mass action, to which the crowds went wild. Now, much has been made since his speech about his reference to the recent movements of freedom in Tunisia and Egypt, comparing them to the growing movement to end cannabis prohibition. He referenced the Arab Spring, the mass protest of civilians in the Middle East, and also compared the activists working to end prohibition to suffragettes and to civil rights activists. He even brought up Gandhi's march to the sea to lead the country to end British rule, and Dr. Martin Luther King's March on Washington that became a pivotal moment in the history of civil rights movement. Kucinich's visit to HempFest, hosted in Washington State, has other political messages as well. Kucinich, according to The Hill, has been considering a run in Washington State in either the 1st or 10th district if his congressional district disappears in Ohio after the Ohio redistricting plan is completed next month. Backstage, Kucinich met with Democratic State Representative Roger Goodman, a longtime supporter of marijuana legalization and a potential opponent if Kucinich moves to Washington State. More than one activist noted that they would hate to have to vote for one over the other. Now, we do have a clip of Representative Dennis Kucinich at HempFest. We're going to go there now.
The presence that we have here today binds us as a community. It empowers us. It strengthens us. We must become visible en masse if we're going to bring about the change that we want in the society. And when we do that, we extend our reach. We bring about new possibilities. And the creative spark that births action can usher in a new world. We have to say to America, open up, America. Show yourself. Time for mass action. This is why and how recent movements for freedom in Tunisia and Egypt gained momentum. This is how Gandhi cast off the British Empire. This is how America's suffragettes ended up getting for women the right to vote. This is how Dr. Martin Luther King's March on Washington became a pivotal moment in the civil rights history of this country. People become visible. They go to the streets. They linked arms. They marched. They sang, "We shall overcome." They walked the uplit path of social and economic justice. People have been on this path, and it's time for us to begin to walk that path too. People then marched to glory, but not for themselves, but for the benefit of generations to come. We gather here today in a common determination for change. A sense of commonality of purpose awakens. A purpose, a sense of awareness grows. The moment arrives to exercise a new commitment, to cast off an old order of things. This same awareness brought America's founders to write the Declaration of Independence and to proclaim a new order follows. Today it is not a financial deficit that will bring America down. It is a deficit of public action. When people discover what happens when one person determines to make a difference and then merges with the many like-minded, it becomes visible. New possibilities unfold, and a new order follows. Now, Seattle, you understand it, because in 1999, Seattle hosted the World Trade Organization rally, and Seattle was...
All right, folks, we're trying to get ourselves back on time, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with our Groovin' Thursday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. A new one off of the Cottonmouth Kings' latest album, Sunrise Sessions, the song called Boom Clap Sound. The album is a positive one from the Cottonmouth Kings. It is one of their best. Also, I highly suggest you go pick it up if you're a fan of hip-hop or a fan of the Cottonmouth Kings at all. It is definitely one of my favorites. So enjoy Boom Clap Sound, one of the positive tunes from the Cottonmouth Kings, Sunrise Sessions. Everybody needs a little positivity, right? Speaking of which, this bowl's for you. John Doe Radio Show replays on the Normal Network, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Pacific. Please join us. Thank you very much to Radical Russ Belleville, Ganja John, Cannabis Carry, Coleco. You guys rock until we meet again next week. Thank you to all the listeners. I am John Doe. See ya.
When it feels like the sky is falling and your world is crumbling down. Listen deep inside your body for that clap, 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 clap.
Zippity, zippity, bappity, bap. Zip, zip, zoom, bap, bap, boom. Bippity, bap, clackity, clap. Put one in the hole, I'm ready to rap. This how we do, the king's in the building. This how we do, when the cats start feeling. This how we do, when the barrel goes bam. This how I do, when I'm smoking on my rap, yeah. Tell me you motherfuckers what you wanna do. Wanna run on a track, or run on a two. Wanna run, 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 let me get that, split that. Run, 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 let me hit that, rip that, hit that, rip that, get that, go. Let me put it in the pipe, let me pack it in the bowl. I run, 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 like a bottle back race. Even in this show.
I never really get upset all the way to the point where I feel like there's no hope left now. Try to keep a good outlook, try to reroute all thoughts that are weighing me down now. All it seems I need is a big bag of weed and a couple shots of Let's Say Crown. A few dope beats that I bang in my Jeep on the way to mountaintop out of town. Yeah, that's where I go when I gotta go get out so I don't feel my top off and explode. When I lose control, they don't tell if I'm gonna come back in one piece body whole. I know you know, or at least I know that you relate, cause I heard from your story's whole. Gotta take the leap of faith, put a song on your headphones, know that you're not alone.
When it feels like the sky's falling.
I put my stamp on a guaranteed freshness. The X Factor quality tested. Handcrafted, packed up and vacuum sealed.
So when you bang it loud, it's that shit that you can feel.
Real deal, underground street sweeper. Stone Town, we the future sound gatekeepers. Cottonmouth, licensed and bonded.
When your speakers needed mail, look who responded.
The 18, special units. Squad stomping out these mud holes.
I told you it's a dirty job.
Clean up crew, yeah. So pack another bong hit.
Fill it up to the top, it's gonna be a long trip.
Eyes glazed, bloodshot, I stay ripped. I disconnect from the system, the power grid. A renegade, outcast, misfit. Well equipped with a cannabis survival kit.
When it feels like the sky's falling and the world is crumbling down, listen deep inside. You could be release your hands and feet dance. Start spinning around. Everybody, it's time to party with that.
Sound of the pole, sound of the pole, sound of the pole. I don't know, about to lose control. Here they go. Boom clap, boom clap. Sound of the pole, sound of the pole, sound of the pole. I don't know, about to lose control. Here they go.
Hear that? That be the sound of the police on the way to ruin your time. Everybody in the area, spark it up so they lose their mind.
Yeah, boom clap for Shizzy. I'm gonna keep these raps busy. I'm gonna keep my brain all dizzy. Better get a map when you're gonna boom clizzy. Clap, clap when you hear my gun go blap, blap. That be the level of party I'm bringing, so give me the bubble to snap, snap, yeah. Now let it all go and move to the beat. Keep it in the bass and feeling the street in front of the crowd and boiling the heat. And never to stop and never to cease. I'm up for the leash, so give me the keys. You gotta believe me. Open your eyes and now you can see me. Over the lies, I'm over the dream. Keep looking around and banging the ground. Forever I'm peeling. The skin of the track, I'm eating the guts and stealing. Similar times resemble the grizzly feeding. Resembling what I'm achieving. Related to rap and call me a heathen. Everybody, I'm in and I'm leaving. The party is over, the stress, it ain't stopping. We're looking for good, but now it ain't popping. And now that I see the true colors, I think I'll be dropping. Out of the race to keep it from flopping. Keeping the party alive, the only one option. The only one option. Whoa.
When it feels like the sky's falling and the world is crumbling down, listen deep inside your body for that clap, 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 clap. You could be release your hands and feet dance. Start spinning around. Everybody, it's time to party with that clap, 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 clap. When it feels like the sky's falling and the world is crumbling down, listen deep inside your body for that clap, 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 clap. You could be release your hands and feet dance. Start spinning around. Everybody, it's time to party with that clap, 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 clap sound.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Normal Show Live. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo! Here, Mo!
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
Well, in addition to the law enforcement officers, we also have all sorts of people who had been involved in the criminal justice system involved with law enforcement against prohibition, a group that I think is one of the most important groups fighting for marijuana and other drug law reform. And joining us today, we have John Delaney. He is a former he's a retired district court judge in Bryan, Texas. And John, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So the interesting background, I was just reading through your biography there at LEAP, and it sounds as if that this position on reforming drug laws, ending prohibition, isn't something that you started with, but something that you developed over time. What was it that brought you around to LEAP's point of view?
Well, I guess the current term is evolving, right?
Yeah.
It evolved over quite a few years of hearing cases, beginning to have some doubts about the aggressiveness of police practices to come very close to entrapping people into drug crimes, and an experience with a family member of mine who broke the law and went to prison behind possession of one wafer of ecstasy. Mm. And certainly deserved to be punished, deserved to be sanctioned, deserved some consequence. But the bigger question was, did society do itself a favor by taking this young man and putting him in prison for a year and a half and causing his body to be filled up with tattoos because of the boredom of prison, because of the fact that prisoners bribe guards who bring in professional tattooing equipment to allow the prisoners to satisfy their thirst for tattoos, and then spitting him out at the end of the year and a half, virtually unemployable for the rest of his life because his body is decorated with these silly tattoos, and he's got a criminal conviction. Mm. I looked at that and said, if there's a better way, we ought to spend some time looking for it. And finally, this all came to a head one day when a man named Jerry Epstein of Houston, Texas, came up to my Rotary Club here in Bryan, Texas, and gave the program one day and talked about this very issue, about how it may very well be that we do more harm than good by fighting the problem of drug use and abuse in our society with search warrants and guns and helmets and handcuffs and prison bars, and a lifetime of consequences that flow from that. Mm. So, that was an aha moment.
I guess so. Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the part about the prison tattoos and the tattooing that goes on there. And people, you know, might think, well, just don't get a tattoo. Well, it's not that easy. You know, there's a lot of pressure involved in that situation. And plus, when you're in a prison situation, there's a dehumanization that takes place. You're not a person anymore. You're a number. You're an inmate. And everybody is forced to dress the same and look the same and act the same. And the tattooing culture that comes out of that is in part because of people's natural desire to be individuals and want to express themselves and show who they are. But as you mentioned, once you get out, now you're, you know, trying to get through the job market with this crazy prison ink all over you. So it makes things more difficult. But I want to ask you, John, about, you know, the how this is kind of going. You mentioned in your bio about this, about how the drug courts, or how the court system and the punishments for the drug possession lead the person down this path where they're in prison and getting the tattoos and having trouble getting their jobs from that point on. A lot of people that disagree with this will come back and say, well, he didn't have to do drugs. Nobody forced him to do drugs. How do you respond to people that would have that mindset?
Well, the first way I'm going to respond is to practice a little bit of self-defense here myself. I am a judicial officer of the state of Texas. I'm still subject to assignment. I still serve as a trial court judge. Therefore, I am subject to the judicial ethics provisions that govern judges in the state of Texas. And one of those provisions is that you shall not make public declarations about some lawsuit or class of litigation that comes before you that's likely to lead a reasonable person to believe how you might rule in a specific case.
Okay.
Make no mistake. I took an oath to uphold the laws of the state of Texas, and I do uphold them every day. Some people might think that the sentencing judgments I make are they differ from other people sometimes. But I'm also allowed under our rule of ethics to speak out and write topics, write papers, communicate publicly on ways to improve the legal system. So that's what I hang my hat on. I speak out today because our legal system needs improving in the ways we're discussing. Not to suggest to anybody that as a trial judge I wouldn't enforce laws. Now, back to your subject. Sorry to digress there, but I had to get that in for self-protection. The day may come when I'm hailed up before the Texas Ethics Commission, and I'm running that risk as we talk.
Understood.
Why don't you go at me again with your question?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, when we point out how the criminal justice system, you know, permanently affects these young people's lives for small, often misdemeanor marijuana or other drug possession charges, the response that we'll get is, well, they didn't have to do drugs. Nobody forced them to do drugs. They made that choice. They have to live with the consequences. How do you respond to those types of people?
Well, it's a question of us as a society trying to make up our mind about what is smart. Absolutely, people do dumb things. They commit crimes every day. They had the choice not to commit the crime of, say, growing the marijuana plants in their closet. The question is, what's the best way to respond to that? Is it to lock them away in prison and pay for that prison term, and pay for the rest of their lives? Or is it smarter to go about it a different way? You know, here in Texas, we have 155,000 men and women in physical confinement behind steel bars in multiple prison units. We know that 18% of those are there for drug convictions. Another percentage is there indirectly because of their involvement in the drug world, their addiction leading to burglary or some other crime that leads to imprisonment. Another group of people in that 155,000 are there because they were on parole and they were, quote, violated. They violated the terms of their parole by coming up dirty for marijuana. And they got their parole revoked and sent back to prison. Does that make sense? Is that the best use of public resources? A lot of us think not. Now, having said that, I'm a big believer in the phrase, the perfect is the enemy of the good. So I know that not all Americans are willing to accept the notion that we should, quote, legalize marijuana, much less any other drug. There's an even smaller percentage that buy into that. But what I would appeal to your listeners to do is to just buy into the idea that it might be smart to sit down and talk about this. If after a rational discussion among lawmakers and taking the evidence, we conclude that the course we're on right now is a good one, so be it. But I'm afraid that where we stand today, people don't want to even talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because they're afraid. They've already got their mind made up one way or the other.
Right.
But, you know, we have commission after commission, study after study, from the United Nations down to the United States Conference of Mayors and everything in between, saying our system of imprisoning people for low-level drug usage and possession is a wrong-headed public policy. But our lawmakers won't do anything about it. That's the great tragedy.
It sure
is. You know, we've got, and it's very, very complicated. But my appeal to people is just simply to open your mind to the idea that we ought to rethink this without prejudging the outcome of the discussion. And that runs contrary to human nature. If people are for it, they say, yeah, let's talk about it. If people are against it, they say, why should we talk?
Hmm. Yes. All right. Well, we're speaking with John Delaney, a retired circuit court judge, district court judge, excuse me, in Bryan, Texas, and still currently working some special assignments, I understand. So thanks for cluing us in on that. With respect to, you know, changing people's mind, I notice in your bio a lot of you're teaching mediation, you do mediation and dispute resolution. So you deal with people in conflict talking with one another over very difficult subjects. How much of the difficulty in this drug war discussion has to do with the morality of it, has to do with people thinking of people who take marijuana or other drugs as bad or evil or wicked in some way? And do you think we have to address that to be able to change their minds?
I give public talks on the average of about one a month. It seems to be getting higher now on the subject of the war on drugs. My title of my talk is Reconsidering the War on Drugs. It might be interesting to your listeners to understand the audience. Primarily Rotary Clubs, increasingly Lions Clubs, and in one occasion, a Shriners Club. Hmm. I begin the talk by asking, how many of you think that we have won the war on drugs? No hands go up. How many of you think we are winning? No hands go up. How many of you think that given the next 10 years of efforts using this about the same thing we're doing now, we will begin to have won the war on drugs? Very rarely does any hand go up there. Overwhelming majority say no to all three questions. So my response to them then is, well, if that's true, shouldn't we begin to discuss this a little bit? And at the end of the talk, people gather around because they're very energized by this. They want to get up and ask questions. They want to express their opinion. I don't hear anybody talk about the inherent moral issue. They buy into the notion that, you know, alcohol is a drug. We've legalized, regulated, taxed, and licensed people to sell alcohol. So the main question in their mind is, and this relates to the morality question, what kind of message does this send to the younger generation if we as a society relax the prohibition against the possession of, we'll just limit it to marijuana right now? That is the closest I can give to an answer. Nobody says that this is inherently evil. They understand that, as near as we can tell, there's not any moral proscription anywhere against simple use of something that has an intoxicating effect on a human body. One guy did mention one day, what about the body being a temple? nobody else thought that was persuasive.
Okay. Well, John Delaney, I want to thank you for joining us on our show, working there in Bryan, Texas, and a former district court judge with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can find them at leap.cc or copsaylegalizeddrugs.com. And to book a Leap speaker like John Delaney, send me an email. I'll forward you through to the Speakers Bureau, or just look it up at leap.cc. John, thanks so much for your wisdom. We appreciate you having you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Good day to you.
All right. And when we come back, we've got time for a little bit of radical ranting. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
And now, another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theater. I'm your host, Leonard Pinth-Garnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark! Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark! Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
'Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. 'Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm...
This is Normal Show Live.
Georgia... Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
You know, some days when we get up to do the show, you never know what you're going to be talking about. You scour the news looking for something. And then there's days like today where the news just falls right into your lap. And I'm talking about a story that broke this morning, literally like about 3 a.m. I first got the tweets about it around 7 when I was getting up. A Best Western hotel was rocked by an explosion in Newburgh, Oregon, just south of us. I think it's about 25 miles south. Our local Fox affiliate, KPTV, reported that around 3 a.m., windows were blown out of a room and a man suffered severe burns, and he admitted he was, quote, cooking hashish, end quote. A woman and a 2-year-old were in the room at the time, but they weren't severely injured. Now, cooking hashish is not exactly the right terminology, and from a public relations standpoint, an unfortunate choice of words. The only drug the public associates with explosions and cooks, until now, is methamphetamine. What the man was probably doing was making a form of concentrated cannabis. Now, it isn't exactly hashish. It's usually, you know, hashish usually a dried, pressed form of cannabis concentrate, but this is more of a sticky, buttery, oily kind of substance that's also a form of cannabis concentrate. Its popular name around here is BHO, which stands for butane hash oil, or butane honey oil. though some of us will sarcastically say it stands for Barack Hussein Obama, as in, hey, let's smoke some Obama. Now, nothing's cooked when you're making BHO in the sense that you're using a flame to heat combined chemicals into a new molecule, like a meth cook or something. Rather, what's going on here? The butane is a solvent that extracts the THC from the plant. Now, there's other ways to do this. You can use micro mesh bags and ice water, for example. But the butane is used because it evaporates quickly and it tends to make a more potent concentrate. But it's also dangerous because it's a heavy flammable gas and it explodes at the slightest spark of flame, you know, like a pilot light, a cigarette, or an electric switch. Now, this BHO is becoming very popular. While the high quality prices for flour, that's what the BHO enthusiasts call cannabis buds, or what you and I might call good old fashioned pot. The flower prices have plummeted here in the Pacific Northwest. You can get around $5 to $10 a gram, as low as 150 an ounce in bulk, and not dirt weed in, or, you know, good stuff. The price of BHO, on the other hand, is going up, and I've seen it, you know, $20 to $40 a gram. And it's just like Prohibition. You remember the 1920s, consumers and producers in Prohibition, they had to get the most bang for their buck, and they're going to prefer whiskey over beer. Well, just like that, Prohibition today is providing a market towards stronger concentrates of cannabis, like BHO. And just like the bootleggers with lots of profit motive and little chemistry training led to clandestine alcohol distilleries exploding in the backwoods, greedy weed dealers without much common sense are messing around with heavy explosive gases in unventilated hotel rooms. Now, for the medical marijuana patients, the BHO can be the only effective medicine, as smoking or vaporizing the relatively low-potency cannabis can be impractical and ineffective. Our pal Cannabis Cure UK, who suffers from Crohn's disease, can make it through an entire workday on one morning oil hit. Smoking flowers just doesn't achieve the same relief and would require hourly hits for him, and that's not always practical. And, you know, there's that movement behind the Rick Simpson oil. This is the recipe this Canadian man put together. It's a cannabis concentrate oil, and people claim that it doesn't just treat, but it cures cancer. Now, this in turn has created a whole new subgenre of paraphernalia and terminology among cannabis consumers. While the oil in its more liquid forms can be spread on a joint, and in its more solid forms can be spread over a pipe load of cannabis, most oil enthusiasts prefer to smoke it directly. Now, to do so, one must heat up a nail, which is like this piece of glass or titanium, or a skillet, which is a flat piece of metal, with a torch, like a chef would use on a creme brulee. There it is. Then one places their dabs of oil or wax or butter on the nail or skillet, and the hot surface immediately turns the BHO into a vapor captured by a globe or a bell, which is a glass piece added to a bong that keeps the vapor from escaping, which is then inhaled like any hit of cannabis. Now, the only problem with the BHO is not the substance itself. It is more potent, and it has been known to lay out an inexperienced toker or two. But it is just cannabis, and it is non-toxic, and it's incapable of producing an overdose. The problem with the BHO is the propaganda. For years, the prohibitionists have been proclaiming, "This is not your father's Woodstock weed," in reference to the improved breeding and harvesting techniques that have, yeah, they've doubled cannabis potency just about. But this line has only had limited success because anybody who remembers Woodstock remembers that there was some powerful weed back then too, and it didn't kill anyone. But now, we've given the prohibitionists something that really isn't Woodstock weed, really is more potent, looks like opium, uses a crack torch, and blows up like meth labs. Now, of course, we know that the solution is legalization. There aren't too many backwoods moonshine stills blowing up these days, are there? Legalization would regulate the production of hash oils, install safety standards, and drive down profit margins to the point where some dude in a Best Western can't compete. So we're going to talk a little bit about this, going to wind up the radical rant for now and bring this out to our expert panel, because we are gifted here to have an expert panel of people who know more about this than I do, who've actually made this stuff. Ganja John's here with us.
Hello.
And when I saw this story, I thought of you immediately because I know that you have done this extraction process before.
Hundreds of times.
And I know that you are running out of body parts to lose, so I know yes. that you've done it with safety in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this guy in a Best Western, man. What's your thoughts?
Well, when I make BHO, I always use eye protection, which most people don't do. The reason for that is because I only have one.
Yeah,
you know, protect it. I want to protect it.
So
that's usually the only protection I use, maybe a glove. But this guy, what he was doing is probably making BHO indoors in a small Best Western hotel with the doors and windows closed, maybe even with the windows open. It probably doesn't matter.
Because it's a gas that sinks. It'll go down
heavy.
Below the level of the window.
Yeah, it'll just sit on the floor. Even with a fan, it'll just sit and swirl around on the floor.
Yeah.
So, someone probably flicked on a light. What an idiot.
Yeah.
And blew the place up. And he had a two-year-old in there. So.
And the thing that bugs me about it is that there are people like you that know what you're doing and are doing it well and doing it for the benefit of patients that really need it. I mentioned Cure, you know, and tell us about, you know, how the BHO is really medicine for you.
Yeah, it's not just like specifically the BHO, but like
the concentrates
right. In general. But I do find that the waxes and the oils tend to have a greater impact quicker. Like if I, you know, with Crohn's disease, there's a lot of urgency going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, I have to go and take a big dab. That will stop that occurrence happening. So
yeah, so we have a situation where we have people that know what they're doing and patients that truly benefit from this being sullied by some idiot trying to make a buck on a prohibited substance because he can, because it's become popular now and it's going up in price, and you know the price for flowers is going down, so that profit margin is going down. So I know these guys that are wanting to make a buck on the sly are turning to this, and one story like this blows it, pardon the pun, for the rest of us.
I can tell you too, he was probably using cheap butane that wasn't refined and had accelerants in it, and didn't do his research or didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
And maybe smoking a cigarette, someone turned on a light.
And to be doing it with the woman, we don't know if his girlfriend or his wife or what, but a woman and a two-year-old child in the room.
Not okay. Not okay.
Not
it's
cool.
Not okay to ever do it inside or around children.
Yeah. Just wrong. So we will keep doing damage control on this and try to educate the public and avoid what I fear is going to be a coming storm on this, on the not your father's Woodstock weed, the danger of dabs. I can see the headlines now. Hey, folks, we got to go. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John, Cannabis Cure UK, Wiz Khalifa, and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2 live on Ustream.tv. For those of you listening to podcasts, we'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.